This is PFW in progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck,
I had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you wanted. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
You mean your sandwich. I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mackie,
Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey,
Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy.
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
I'm not sure how much delight it is here at Gillette Stadium, Tom, but it is afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it's just afternoon here at Gillette Stadium. PFW in progress on a Thursday afternoon. Tom Casale and Paul Perillo will take you through the first hour, and as our custom on Thursdays. Second hour, we'll go around the National Football League. We're going to be a little bit short change
this week.
Just three of us. It'll only be three of us. So, well, Fred Kirsch has promised me that he'll join us. Andy Hart. I don't know. Does he even work here anymore?
He's here once in a while. Eric is so swamped with work. He can't even leave his computer.
Yeah, Eric is busy.
I know from experience, dude.
I mean, he must have had, what, two stories to do this week?
Oh. You have to take rocket shots at him. Well, you can if you want. That's
he's
what we do.
He's a dink.
He's a dink. Do you like that one, Gary? That's like fourth grade, maybe? Third grade? You dink.
He reminds me of someone, and he's about the size of someone in third grade.
All right, so Patriots and Bills on Sunday, moving along this week. Kind of refreshing the last couple of days, Tom, to put the whole video mess on the back burner now. No more questions about that. It's just football, which I think we all would rather have, whether it be the media, the players, the coaches, the fans. I'm sure this is kind of the more of a normal routine for everybody involved, and much more along the lines of what we're looking for, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I haven't been here that long, but I kind of figured out one pattern that Belichick has. When he's constantly talking about a team's special teams, that means they're going to whoop them.
Yeah.
That's all. Whenever they play the Bills, that's all he talks about is how great the special teams is, blah, blah, blah. That means they don't got anything.
Yeah. Now, the only thing I will say is the Bills' special teams are pretty special.
But I agree with Tom.
But sure.
That is by far and away the only aspect of that club that's really right now worth fearing. Maybe fear isn't even the right word. Respecting is probably a better word. I just don't think they have the horses on offense to get into a shootout, and I don't think they have the ability on defense to prevent it from being a shootout.
No, what a depressing team. They finished strong last year. You know, it looks like they got some things going for them. Losman plays well. Evans has established himself as a big receiver. They had McGahee at the time, and then they just implode, and now they're just god-awful.
And I think they're fine in terms of the McGahee swap, because I think Lynch is okay.
Yeah.
And I think they did well in that trade. I think, by getting Lynch, that's a solid move. The part I'm a little bit curious about is the turnover on defense.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that far away. Now, I like Belichick's old adage that, he's not the only one that's ever said it, but he's the one that I heard it from, so I'll give him the credit. It's better to get rid of a guy a year too early than a year too late. And maybe that's what they decided to do with guys like London Fletcher.
That was the thing there, that they were trying to be more like the Patriots. They didn't want to overpay for those kind of veterans. But it seemed like, they got rid of Spikes, then didn't get anything in return because they got Darwin Walker, who would have helped the team.
Well,
and
that's
then never
the part
played
of it
there.
That I haven't, because regardless of what you thought of Spikes as a player, and I think pretty highly of him. I think he's a pretty good player. But even if you felt he was on the downswing, and that you were trying to do exactly what you talked about and not get caught in a situation where it was costing you too much money, you had a pretty valuable commodity that you chose not really to get much for.
That didn't make
trade
much
him
sense.
For a defensive lineman that even if he played for you wasn't really going to be an impact guy, and then he didn't even want to play for you.
And one of the big problems, I think, with that team is How long are they going to say to themselves that Peerless Price and Josh Reed can play in this league?
Josh Reed, I mean, to me, is beyond that book is so closed. I watched him, obviously, as you might guess, Tom, a little bit closer than I would normally the third or fourth receiver for another team when Bledsoe was there. He couldn't play. Now, you could say what you want about Drew Bledsoe.
And he got elevated.
Making receivers look better than they were was more often the case than the other way around with Drew Bledsoe. Now, you could say he made offensive lines look worse than they were. Or he made offensive coordinators look worse than they were. But you can't tell me he didn't make receivers better.
I got to do this in honor of Andy.
Go ahead.
Well, he made defensive backs look better than they were.
Again, all of that may be fair, okay? But you can't say that he didn't, more often than not, make wide receivers look better than they were. I mean, the list of guys that had their best years under him is long and distinguished, as they say in Top Gun. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Timpson.
Well, the list is long.
Eric
Moulds. Distinguished. So is my Johnson.
Peerless Price, by the way.
Yep.
He made some guys some pretty decent coin in free agency. Let's put it that way.
And that Reed
so Josh Reed could do absolutely nothing.
And that shows how long he's been there. You're talking about him playing with Bledsoe. He wasn't anything then. And then what are you waiting for? You bring Peerless Price.
It may even have been 03. I think he dropped
a bomb 03.
In 03, and that opener would have been 38-0.
So, you have a young quarterback, and you don't go out and get him any targets or any kind of help whatsoever. I don't know. And then you wonder why he's regressing. Well, he's only got one guy to throw the ball to.
Yeah, and obviously Lee Evans is a quality player, and I'm just not sure what else they have to go with him. Price, we know, can't do it on a consistent basis.
Now, if you wanted to look at the upside, you could say, well, they probably should be 1-1. Okay, they.
Well, that's absolutely right. To support your point, the one thing that I would say is one way they could stay in the game this week is the same way they stayed in the first two. They allowed a lot of yards,
but not a lot of points. Yep.
And, 3-7, we always joke about it. That's the best way for the Bills to stay in games this year is they can play tough red zone defense. They gave up over 400 yards of total offense to the Broncos and over 400 to the Steelers as well. And yet they were in the game in the fourth quarter both weeks. And, you could argue that they should have won the Denver game at the end. So your point is well documented.
So, but, of course, they're facing a different animal here in the Patriots. The Patriots have looked great over 2 weeks. And I'm not saying the Patriots aren't great, but I agree with what Troy Aikman said last night on PTI. He said it's hard to know after 2 weeks because some teams that are 2-0 probably aren't as good as some teams that are 1-0. It all depends on, because we don't know. He mentioned the Patriots, and he said, we think the Chargers are going to be good, and the Jets went to the playoffs last year, but we're basing it on, what if the Chargers go 8-8 and the Jets win 5 games? You look back, well, then maybe it wasn't as impressive.
Right.
So it kind of takes a while for things to shake out, but I think one thing we're pretty certain is that the Bills probably won't be a very good football team this year. At least it doesn't look that way.
Yeah, I think Aikman's right. He said that he was on PTI.
I think that's where I saw him. I came walking in. He was on.
He said, that's a great point. We talk about that a lot. Fred is actually, I'll give Fred a lot of credit for that because he's very much in favor of that theory. I definitely would agree with it to a point. I think that regardless of what happens to San Diego this year.
Yeah, they're a talented team.
Sunday night was an impressive win
right.
for the Patriots. San Diego could go 1-15. And to me, Sunday night was still an impressive win because that was before all that happened. Now, the team that beats them 8 weeks from now, if they go 1-15, not so impressive.
Right. And he said, clearly it looks like the Colts and the Patriots are in another league. And I think that has a lot to do with who plays under center for those two teams. In today's NFL, with it being so close parity-wise, to have a Brady and a Manning, it's just a huge advantage for you.
Yeah. Well, and that's the key. That's what's kept those teams on top. And I think to a large degree, that's what's, in the NFC, Philadelphia has been able to stay on top. They've had Donovan McNabb. And we should probably talk about him a little bit as well. He's been in the news this week with his comments about the criticism that he receives as a black quarterback as opposed to white quarterbacks. But I think that's a good point, Tom. When you have that, that one piece that has to be there, and when you're consistent in that spot and you're stable at that spot, it certainly makes a coach's job a lot easier.
Yeah. And, the thing with the Eagles, too, the same thing. Geez, get some receivers. You know, you had a receiver 1 year, and McNabb had his best year ever. I even criticized the Patriots for that a little bit. I always said last year.
You said it a lot.
Yeah, you know, with Brady in his prime, I know Brady's good. And I know he can make those, what you would call shoemakers, look better than they are. But look what he's doing with Randy Moss and Wes. That was our point right. The whole time.
Yes, he could make Rishay Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney look better than they are. But just imagine what he right. can do with Randy Moss. You know, and you know, my brother, actually, when I was talking to you, it's funny you mentioned that. I was talking to him yesterday, and he was saying how much better Brady is making Moss look, mm-hmm. not the other way around. And I said, well, come on now, Moss has done it with some right. pretty average quarterbacks. And, I mean, he had 1,000 yards with Kerry Collins a couple years ago, and that was after he supposedly had lost it.
Right.
So they were hand in hand. But you see some of these throws. Moss is wide open, and Brady's getting mm-hmm. the ball in perfect spots as well. Two together.
And yeah, and I think it's been amazing. I think it's a little bit of arrogance on some of these coaches that it's our system. We don't need receivers. Hey, if your team revolves around a great quarterback, then get them some receivers because then you're unstoppable, as you're seeing right now. You give Brady a little time. He doesn't Moss, like you said, when he's open, and we said this earlier in the offseason, when he's open, that's different from Rishay Caldwell being open. Randy Moss is really open.
Right. I mean, you've seen it so far, about 15 out of the 17 catches that he's had. He's been really mm-hmm. open. You know, it's been remarkable to watch, and it's rare that you get to see such a definitive answer to questions that you have going into a season. And we had, you know, a lot of questions as to how Moss would be used and how much he would be used, and bang, out of the chute, you're seeing a lot of answers to those questions. You know, getting along with I wanted to get back to the McNabb thing and get your thoughts on that. I thought it was odd timing, and, you know, I'm going to preface my comments just by saying I don't always feel comfortable talking about how another man should feel.
Right.
Especially when I don't walk in that man's shoes, and by that I mean I'm not a black man, so I can't tell you what kind of criticism I would perceive to be criticism because I'm African-American as opposed to just a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, quarterbacks take a lot of heat.
Right.
All quarterbacks take a lot of heat. Peyton Manning was blistered, you know, nationwide until last year when he finally won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I thought it was curious comments. I think poor timing on McNabb's part, though, because he had played two down games for him, and the Eagles are 0-2. I thought that was a strange time. I don't know if that interview took place before or after that game, the second game, but clearly I think you would have thought that he would want to rethink that, but no, on his press briefing on, I don't know if it was Tuesday or Monday, he stood by every comment that he made.
Yeah, and I'm someone, I took gender studies as a minor in college, and one of the
things... You actually took classes in college?
Yeah, and one of the things, you know, we were taught to do is, like, when you hear something like this, it's hard for us to think of it because we're white and we just don't face that kind of thing.
And I hear a lot of people knee-jerk reaction. They immediately go, oh, he's out of his mind.
Right.
Well, stop and take a step back.
So that's what I do. I think of it like how I would with him, but in this case, I just don't see it. I really don't. Like you said, Peyton Manning and has been under fire. And here's the thing I would say, and I might have even said this to you and Andy. I used to say to my friends, every NFL pregame, every week, one of the NFL pregames has an interview with Donovan McNabb. I used to say, this guy has been on TV more than Michael Jordan. Seriously, every week it was, now here's Donovan McNabb. And I used to say, he's average. Why do you keep showing him? I think Donovan McNabb has gotten a tremendous amount of love in the media. Maybe there was a time when this was the case, but I'll tell you right now, take McNabb out and put that Kevin Cobb in and let him struggle and see if the Eagle fans and media are tough on him. Because I know a white guy who's having some trouble by the name of Eli Manning. And
you want to put Eli Manning?
Yeah.
How would you feel if you were Rex Grossman?
Right, Rex Grossman. Now, I think maybe black coaches, it would be a little – that would stand a little bit more to reason because there hasn't been a lot of them. And, you know, like Charles Barkley always says – there's a ton of bad white coaches, too, and that's kind of true. But as far as the quarterback position goes, I think it's all about results on the field. And I don't think – I mean, I heard an NFL GM a couple years ago say, listen, none of us care if you're white, black, green, or purple. If you can help our team win, we will sign you, and we don't care what color you are. And I have to believe that that's true.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I just thought that that was odd timing in light of the fact that he hasn't been playing very well. And
he's a bit of a baby. He really is.
You know what I think the big, and this is probably unfair because, again, we're not close enough to the situation to really know, but I think his mother is part of the problem. I think his mother is a baby, and she's very insecure.
You're right.
And responds to a lot of this stuff, you know?
You're right.
And I think that gets him in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year when Garcia was playing so well in his place, she wasn't making matters any better by coming, you know, talking about how this is still Donovan's team. We know
Just
that.
Shut up, yeah.
And you know what? It's hard to say that you don't get the respect that you deserve. And not, you know, I'm paraphrasing, not in so many words, but it's hard to make that claim when you're one of the highest paid players in the whole league. He's got a $100 million contract. He's been to, what, 5 Pro Bowls?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the lack of respect?
I don't know. And he's on TV all the time. He's on commercial. I mean, I think people love him, to be honest with you. And here's, and I agree with what Jaworski said on Monday Night Football. He said, you know, just because they drafted that quarterback, Cobb, that doesn't mean anything. Donovan McNabb is now, he's over 30, right? He's 30 or 31 now.
He hasn't proven and he's been, that he can
and,
stay
and
healthy.
He's been injured. And they said they drafted this guy for the future. The Eagles think they can get to the Super Bowl. They don't want to put a rookie quarterback in there right now. This guy's for a couple years down the road. They want him in to learn the system.
Right.
And I don't see why you should be threatened as a quarterback if they got a guy for a couple years down the road. So what?
I think that he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's ever ascended to the level of greatness.
No.
Now, he's done some winning. He's gone to you know, 4 conference championships and a Super Bowl is pretty good. But I also think he's been in the NFC all that time. How many conference championships would he have been with the same team in the AFC?
Right.
My answer is maybe one. Maybe. I'm not sure I would be willing to give it to him.
No, I agree. And I mean,
that division in particular was
terrible.
You would know more than anybody
for
because
a long
of the Cowboys.
Time. Yeah,
that's a bad division.
Really
now,
bad.
It's a little bit better now, but
the Cowboys and Redskins were bad for forever.
What do you got there, G?
He's looking up the
in the McNabb profile.
I can't read this.
30?
Well, see now it just has his date of birth and you can't figure it out.
Right, he'll be 31 in November.
Yeah. So, you know, they have to start looking at life possibly somewhere down the road without McNabb. And I think that, you want to talk about unfair criticism or undue criticism? He didn't win last year with the same team that Garcia did win with.
Right.
With the same lack of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
if you're a quarterback.
I take a step back. I don't know what kind of comment. And you know what? You know when you see a comment that when there's some racism, you know, tinged in there.
Right.
I'm not an African American man to be able to make that determination. He obviously has. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying that I would argue that I don't think he's been criticized that much.
Right. I agree. I mean, look at Roethlisberger last year.
Now maybe the criticism that he has gotten has had a tinge of racism to it. I can't answer that.
I just don't think he's a very accurate thrower, passer. I mean, let's be honest. He throws more balls at receivers' feet than any quarterback in the league.
I got to tell you, if Peyton Manning or Tom Brady missed the throw that he missed in the Monday night game on third down, the second to last play of the game, on a blitz, Kevin Curtis, wide open. He reads the blitz perfectly and threw the ball 5 yards wide.
It wasn't even close.
Okay. If Tom Brady or Peyton Manning makes that throw, they're hearing about it the next day.
Yeah, right.
They're hearing about it.
And to show you the difference, Jason Campbell missed an even easier throw, but you're not really – he's young. You know, you say, well, geez, that's a throw, and he's got to start making that throw.
That's a great example. He didn't catch a lot of fire for missing that throw because he's a young guy who's learning, and his team won.
Right.
Now, if they had lost, maybe there would have been more heat on him.
But that's something going forward. He's got to make that – he's got
to
complete that pass every time.
Throw.
And McNabb has already gotten the benefit of the doubt on that. So,
all right, so we're talking, obviously, Patriots-Bills today and looking for Sunday. You know, the Donovan McNabb thing is out there. Interested to hear your thoughts. We got webradio@patriots.com. You can send us an email. Give us a call, 508-543-7482. We'll go to the phone lines right now, and we'll hit Anthony in Naples, Florida. Anthony, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Is this Paul?
Yes.
Hey, I'm not listening to the podcast. I'm actually on the phone. I thought I'd give a ring to you guys. and see what you're talking about.
Well, we're talking about the Patriots and the Bills on Sunday. We're talking a little bit about Donovan McNabb and his comments. You just decided to call up and give us a little bit of, you know, how's it going there?
Well, I'll be honest with you guys. I always listen to your podcast on delay, you know, because I don't have time during the day.
Yeah, we don't have time to do them.
Yeah.
You don't have time to do them?
No.
I can understand that.
We try.
True. So I just figured I'd try to be a regular. I actually put you in my favorites. So
atta
boy.
It's
not going to cost me any minutes.
So what's on your mind? Give us something. What are you mad about?
What are you looking for this game?
Right?
Yeah, we were talking about McNabb.
All right, McNabb, I'm sick of the crying and the whining. You know what I mean? Listen, he's lost his last eight games.
That's
well,
true.
Actually, not eight. He's lost seven out of eight.
Seven out of the last eight.
All right? That's the reason why people are talking about him. And he plays in Philly. Come on, we all know the story. I don't need to repeat it.
I think you're making some points, and I'll draw a comparison to a guy who's near and dear to my heart. Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe was a guy who could do no wrong for
you
how many years?
Horrible.
And as I say this, Fred is here to help me out. How many years, Fred? 94, 95, 96. Now, you could do no wrong, right?
Right.
But all of a sudden in 99, when they went 2-6 in the second half, and then 2000, they went 5-11. He wasn't winning games anymore. And people
quarterback's
started
always going to get blamed.
But they were right. He wasn't playing well. You know,
and
that's part of the criticism.
One thing about Bledsoe, if I can interrupt, at least Bledsoe didn't get hurt. You know?
He was a warrior.
Well,
he had heart.
We had mentioned Eli Manning before. You look where Eli Manning is right now compared to his brother, and I would say he's probably maybe even ahead. I mean, Peyton threw a ton of interceptions. Remember all the interceptions Peyton used to throw when he was younger? Right in today's NFL, they just throw you into the fire. You know, you got to kind of learn on the job. Now, I'm not a big Eli Manning fan, but I think he takes way too much criticism on an average team, and he's white.
Yeah.
So
I would totally agree with the second
right.
part of your statement. I think Peyton.
No,
is ahead
I think,
of him at this
but
stage.
I, no, but I think Peyton is. I'm talking about numbers wise. If you look at the numbers, you know, I agree with you.
I
like,
thought he had a tough rookie year, and then second year he was good. He was already.
But
great.
Remember, he used to throw all those interceptions.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And he was killed too. Like we were saying, Peyton was.
Yeah.
You know, when Mora was the coach, he kind of took a step back a little
me?
Bit.
And playoffs? But,
yeah, playoffs. They weren't even thinking about playoffs back then.
So Anthony, what do you like for Sunday?
What do I like for Sunday? You know, I agree with you what you said earlier in the week. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think they're going to control the game, and you take the points. Even though I'm a huge fan, listen, I named my dog Brewski and everything, but you take 16.5 points. I don't care who you are.
I don't know who they're playing next week, but take the points.
It's 17, and I wouldn't take the points.
And climbing. All right, Anthony, we appreciate the call, and thanks for having us in your favorites. You're one of our favorites now, okay?
What, did he send us food?
No, not yet. Yeah, no. Anthony, send us food.
Then you'll vault to the top of the favorites list. Just not on Wednesdays.
No.
We don't need food on Wednesdays. All right, what else we got? Freddie, why are you coming down? We didn't expect to see you until the second hour.
That's all right. You know, I was in the area. It's in the neighborhood.
We were just talking about Donovan McNabb, and Tom and I both agreed that it's hard for us to sit, you know, as white guys, to sit here and talk about what an African-American guy is dealing with in terms of criticism and what he feels is criticism because of his race.
Right.
But we both agree that we don't think he's criticized all that much.
Well, he isn't. I know what he's saying about being a black quarterback and having to be better than your white. You know, and that's the way it is for black people in general. They just
right.
have to be better. But as far as the quarterback position, I don't think they get black quarterbacks get criticized any more than white quarterbacks. And, you know, you take a look at Eli Manning. You take a look at Rex Grossman. You take a, you know,
that's what we were saying.
You take a look at Drew Bledsoe in his last years here. I mean, no one took more heat than those guys. So I think the criticism of quarterbacks is colorblind.
But, I agree.
But that's how I feel about it. But
and he
kind of
cleared that up the next day, but that's not what he said the day before.
You know. I disagree with that a little bit. I think he stood right behind his comments the next day. I don't think he really cleared it up at all.
To me, I think he clarified a little bit, and I understand where he's coming from. You know, so
well, like I said, I anytime I hear someone say that, I think the knee-jerk reaction, and I probably have it too, is to say, that guy's out of his mind, and people don't criticize him because of his color or anything like that. But I try to stop and take a step back and say, you know what, I'm not of that color, so I don't know what I would perceive to be criticism based on that, you know, without knowing. And you know, the whole adage of not, you know, walking a mile in another man's shoes. I can't do
that.
We
got a lot of that last year during the Super Bowl. People said they were tired of hearing about it. Well, are you white or black? Because if you're, my guess is all the people who said that were white.
Yeah.
Because there was a time not too long ago where people used to say this phrase, black guys can't coach in the NFL. I mean, people used to say that. They used to say
they couldn't play quarterback.
And it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of was a big deal. Maybe not to you if you're white, but.
Jeez, we're talking 30 years ago when people said black guys can't play quarterback.
Right.
They run too much. They, you know, they don't know the offense. I mean,
they're just not smart
really,
enough.
Really
yeah.
ignorant things like mm-hmm. that.
When the reality was,
they'll
is
choke
that,
under pressure.
But the reality was, they were all running wishbone in college because you recruited a black quarterback to run the wishbone, and they weren't in pro systems.
Plus, right. there's code words that, believe me,
oh, there's absolutely
black people
code
understand.
Words.
He's a good athlete,
right.
but he's not. You know,
well,
what does that mean?
We have the same code words, 110%. You know, we always joke about the white guy code words. You know. Giving it 110, high motor,
cerebral. He's blue collar.
Yeah.
yeah.
So all races have the code, but we all know what it means.
Right. So we were talking about that a little bit, talking about the Bills on Sunday, Fred. We all like the Patriots, obviously, but
Jeez.
we think that the one big aspect of this, and Tom brought it up, was red zone. The Bills' red zone defense, you know, that's the only way they can kind of keep this game close. The first two games, they've played pretty tough when they've gotten close to their goal line. If they can do that again against the Patriots, maybe they keep the score down a little bit and they stay within, you know, a kickoff return of getting back in the game or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't see it, but that's the one thing that Buffalo has
done
well.
With the Patriots' offense, though, they can score from anywhere. They don't need to get to the red zone anymore.
I know, but we're just trying to analyze the game, Fred.
We could just take the rest of the show off and go home.
Thanks for adding.
I thought you came down to help us. Anyway, let's get to some emails.
Fred is so bored with the game, he's doodling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why he bothered to come down. Evidently, he was looking for food. Justin is in Alaska. He's first up today. He thinks there are some good things about the whole Tapegate mess. And we have definitely moved on from Tapegate, Fred. But I'll read these real quick here. All non-true blood, tried and true Patriots fans will abandon the team. We will lose all the bandwagoners. That's a good thing, he says. We should not gain any new lame fans when we win the Super Bowl this year. Three, the NFL will now monitor all teams for any of this shady stuff. Granted, they could have caught the New York rats first, but the league will be better. Bottom line, if you are wearing Pats gear, especially for us who live outside of New England, you've got to be a real fan, and I like that. Haven't seen that since pre-2001.
Yeah, times are tough for you. You know, the Patriots, the Bills, times are tough. I mean, come on.
Do you guys like smoked Alaskan salmon?
No.
Is that lox?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I do. Not me, but Fred does. That was his PS. Do you guys like smoked Alaskan salmon?
I just, the whole notion.
Fred likes it, Justin, so you can deal with it.
The whole notion that it's tough to be a Pats fan right now is comical.
Send down some fresh lox. We'll get some bagels and cream cheese. We'll have a breakfast.
Do the chickens have large talons?
Large talons. All right, Matt's up.
Well, large talons.
Before you get to that, you know, his email reminded me, have you seen that Fitzy thing, BostonTowniesports.com?
No.
This guy,
Fitzy and Sully.
He does a thing. He does like these video podcasts. He's actually a professional comedian, but everyone thought he was just a fan.
Oh.
He did a thing on Please Leave Belichick Alone. It's hysterical. One of our emailers sent us the link. When you get to it, we should click on it and play it over the mic. It's hysterical. You'll laugh your butts off.
All right. I'll look forward to that.
Gary, maybe you can effort that.
Yeah, why don't you effort that, Gary? I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, Matt is in Oregon.
I think it's townysports.com.
All right. I definitely don't have that waiting.
But also the link's in the email.
Or as Andy would say, the kiwi. Okay, so maybe I went a little too far calling Randy Moss a blue-collar guy. But he certainly hasn't done anything to give any of us homers any reason to doubt that he's turned himself around. That's not to say that things might not change, but as of now, he's a Patriots-type player. Had to use that phrase since Tom loves it so much. Now, I couldn't agree more with the assessment of Wes Welker as a blue-collar guy. You said it very well. He plays beyond himself and obviously has a lot of fight in him. But I would have to say that while he's not on the same level as Randy or Adalys, he's definitely more than just a nice little player. The guy's got something, or Brady wouldn't go to him so often. He's a quarterback that likes to spread the ball around, and he throws to Welker almost as much as Moss. Go Pats. That's Matt from Oregon.
There you go, Matt.
Where does he go?
Well, you weren't here the other day. You were doing your big show. We had a discussion. Andy thought he's just a nice little player.
I would agree with that.
I know you would. That's why you're wrong and everyone else is right. Keep going. Keep going.
I want a reason.
Well, I think we've seen two games full of reasons.
Is Richey Caldwell more than a nice little player?
No.
Brady went to him more than anybody last year.
Keep going.
I want a reason as to why he's more than that.
Well, you know, everybody has been emailing in, giving reasons. He's more than a nice little player.
But Fred,
he's an excellent slot receiver. He's going to be a huge contributor to this
team. Is he better than Troy Brown?
I would put Troy Brown in the nice little player category.
I'm wondering if he's better than him.
No. Not so far, anyway.
Fred,
He's already dropped more balls as a Patriot than Troy Brown has, so you know.
I'm asking Fred.
Well,
Troy Brown's
done it over an extended period. Well, let's give him, you know, a little bit of time.
Is he better than Deion Branch?
No.
See, okay. But you know what I'm waiting for him to do? I'm waiting for him to turn this into I'm saying that Welker can't play. That's what I'm waiting. Whenever we get in our Welker argument, that's how he turns it. And then before you know it, I'm screaming at him and, you know, all hell breaks loose. Right?
Okay.
That's what you... And either that or he just dismisses me as if I'm not worth his time.
Go to Matt.
I love him.
I have to save my energy for Felger.
Mar is next up.
Today he's not coming in, right? Oh, that's tomorrow.
Great start for the Pats. Couldn't be happier. I have 2 points to make. In the first two games, the Patriots have allowed their opponents inside the red zone 4 times, and 4 times the result was a touchdown, uncharacteristic of past Patriots teams. Is that a concern?
Interesting. I didn't...
I hadn't made that... reality either. I haven't made that comparison.
Because last year they were so good in the red zone.
Yeah. No, I mean, certainly not good that they allowed 4 touchdowns. I would say that the San Diego ones need a little bit of an asterisk. I mean, first of all, the first one, they actually did force a field goal and they went for it on 4th down and got it. I think in a regular game, in a close game, San Diego probably kicks a field goal.
Right.
And the last one was a garbage touchdown. You know, the two Jets ones were legit. Mm-hmm. They were legit touchdowns. But
and the one was a really nice drawn-up play to Coles.
Oh, yeah. That was good execution. It's certainly something to keep an eye on. Is it a concern? Maybe a little strong, Fred? Concern? Something to keep an eye on, see if the trend develops.
Fred's not concerned about anything. Just a quick, you mentioned asterisk. My friend told me this, and he said he was serious. So if anyone lives in New York, maybe you can...
Yeah, the New York Post?
Yeah, caught cheating?
Yes.
Okay, do you know that?
Now, you have to admit that that's hilarious.
I didn't hear what?
You know how the Herald's got all the numbers for the games? The spread? You know the spread?
Yeah.
Well, for the Patriots one, they have an asterisk next to it, and below it says caught cheating.
It has the standings.
Oh, that's fun. That's
it has the standings.
It has the NFL standings. Okay, Patriots 2-0, asterisk.
That's
down
funny.
The bottom it says caught cheating.
Caught cheating.
And by the way,
and that's just meant to be exactly the way you just said
that's
it,
funny.
Fred.
And I think T.O.'s thing was funny, too. I don't know why he got I guess because he used the ball as a prop. But
yeah, but I agree with you.
But I thought it was funny.
That was funny.
Yeah. And,
it was more funny than Chad Johnson's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
With the coat?
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to say I've been hard on Chad Johnson, but I kind of like
you have a what on Chad Johnson?
Oh, shut up.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Friend.
I've been hard on Chad Johnson. There, I said it. but I thought his thing in Cleveland was kind of funny, where he didn't know where to go. See, I like more of that spontaneous stuff.
I didn't see Chad Johnson's thing in Cleveland.
When he scored, he was going to go to the dog pound, but it was over on the other side. Oh. So he was, like, pointing, should I go over here? And then, like, he was going to go in, and they stopped him. And the next time he scored, he looked over, and then he jumped in, and they just started pelting him with beer and everything else.
Yeah, it really slowed him down.
He only
caught, like, 200. How many? Like 220?
Yeah, that offense is on fire.
What's going on that game?
They don't have a defense.
Both teams.
Evidently, neither team.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Cincinnati can score on anybody because Palmer's healthy now. And when he's healthy, you know, you got Hushmanzada, you got Johnson.
I think they should have won the game at the end. I think that he made a big mistake by trying to get too much.
And they weren't going over the middle of the field.
Exactly. They should have kept going over the middle.
They had
and then,
time.
Then you get closer, you could throw it in the end zone.
That's what I was saying.
The second part of Mara's email here, I thought one of Adalis Thomas's strengths was to cover tight ends. Is he being used that way? The Patriots looked to me like they had corners and safeties trying to cover Antonio Gates for much of the game. Any explanation?
No linebacker in the NFL can cover Antonio Gates. That's
I just
the
think
explanation.
Gates, yeah, I think Gates is in the class by himself.
I mean, if you're talking about Eric Johnson or someone like that, Thomas can probably cover him.
Yeah, I don't think when you have... You know, a Gonzalez, those kinds of guys, you can't get away with a linebacker.
No.
I mean, you can have – I'm not saying there are no plays that Adalis Thomas is going to be on him, but I think if you try to make your living, and I made that comment before the game, if they want to get Gates downfield and the Patriots want to cover him with Thomas, that's a matchup San Diego's looking for.
And to put that in perspective, the Broncos usually put Champ Bailey on Antonio Gates. That's how highly they think of him, so that's a tough matchup right there.
I'm not going to read all these emails, Fred, but evidently John Rook yesterday was looking for a name.
I deleted all
for the Patriots offense, and it looks like the firing squad is what a lot of people came up with.
I don't like it.
I don't like those names, and I don't really want to get into that. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't like the firing squad.
I let someone else come up with the name, and then, you know, like I never liked like the greatest show on turf.
We used to try.
I don't like that.
One time we were calling the defense Blue Thunder and the
White Lightning.
And White Lightning was the offense.
Nah, yeah. It doesn't work. It has to be universal. Purple People Eaters, Doomsday, Steel
But it's
Curtain.
Always defense. No one names their offense.
Not really. Well, there's Eric Coryell.
You had the K-Gun in Buffalo.
But that's Eric true. Coryell the K-Gun. In San Diego. K-Gun, that's true.
But you have to be a special, special.
What's that, Aaron?
The greatest show on turf.
Yep, that's true.
You have to. I mean, the Colts don't even have a name. You have to be a special, special unit to get it named on offense. You know what I mean? And we'll have to, a little early, as Bill would say, a little early for the Patriots to be giving them. Why don't you ask Bill that at the press conference tomorrow, Paul? Well, what he thinks the nickname
of
his
offense? How do you think he would react to that?
I don't even.
I'm just
know what?
To get a good walkthrough today. Paul.
He would be so stunned at the question. It would take him like that 3 seconds where he doesn't because he wasn't preparing for the. Like he would just be so stunned that you asked him that question. He'd just give you the shake and go, that's
for
ridiculous.
You guys.
Did you hear that one, by the way?
What?
Someone asked him about 16 and 0.
I heard that. That's ridiculous.
That's just ridiculous. I think that might be my quote of the week.
Yeah, it should be. We're just trying to put our helmets on.
So ridiculous.
Ron is in Raymond, New Hampshire, and he likes a story that Rich Eisen evidently wrote on NFL Network that I'm not familiar with, but.
I didn't know Rich Eisen wrote on NFL Network.
I didn't know that either. Anyway, he says this is Ron talking. I'd like to see Bill Belichick step up to the podium and say, okay, I give up. I'll be a nice guy and play by your rules, and we'll still kick everyone's ass and then see what people find to bitch about. Keep up the great work. Hey, Tom, take some advice from an old arrogant guy. That'll be Ron. Don't let your ego make a fool of you. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to speak and make it obvious.
Wow. What did Tom do to
I don't know.
Piss this guy off?
What went on yesterday?
Nothing.
What's going talking on? About Tom Casale or Tom Brady?
You know what? That's a good point, Fred. Maybe he's not talking about Tom Casale. He didn't specify, but I'm assuming he's talking about
If you're
him.
Talking about Brady, I agree. If you're talking about me, you're a douchebag.
Ron is one of our most loyal emailers, but taking shots at Tom. I have to say I appreciate it.
Who cares?
I like it.
I'll be like Eric. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care. Screw you.
I don't care. Anyway, what are you looking for on Sunday, Fred? Anything? Any particular aspect of the offense that you know? Maybe like people are talking about Dante Stallworth. Maybe one of these weeks it's going to be his turn. Or I think this is. You know, I think Tom brought it up on Tuesday. I think Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah, running game.
I think the second half is going to be extended garbage time, and I think you're going to
see.
Plus,
we're giving
up
177 yards a game.
I'd like to see 6 or less points let up by the defense. That's what I'd like to see.
Any particular reason for that?
I just want to see.
You mean real defense? Like if they score like late in the game to make it 13? You're not talking. You mean like?
Because in my opinion, they've given up less than 6 points in 7 points in both games.
You mean during? I like to call it competitive time. You mean during competitive time?
Yeah, I just want to see the defense just completely shut them down. I mean, you know, and I think they will.
I just think that this Bills offense is punchless. They try to take a shot or two every game to Lee Evans, but I just don't see them succeeding, and I think that when you're so limited with your weapons, I think Lynch is going to be a good back, and that's why I asked Bill about him today, Tom, in the press conference, but I just don't see them having enough up front to sit there and say, we're going to line up, and we're going to put together a 12, 14-play drive, control the clock, keep the Patriots offense on the sideline, and put points on the board. I just don't see that happen.
Right, and when you're a young back like that, it's hard to be great when you're on a bad team like this because you're probably going to get like 58, 60 yards a game because at some point they're going to have to go away from the run. You know, you fall behind, you got to start throwing the football, and it's hard to utilize him. You kind of got to stay in the game. And like I said, the Bills haven't been totally embarrassed this year, so there is some hope. I don't think they're in the Patriots class, but going forward there's some hope.
PJ is next up, and You guys must have had a spirited talk yesterday, huh?
I don't know. I don't remember anything, really.
I just wanted to read. Well, you weren't here, were you? Yesterday?
I came. No, because they kept.
You came down
no,
later?
They got the sub, remember? And
oh, that's
they kept
right.
saying, come down. They got the sub.
I got the sub. I got the sub. I just wanted to reiterate the point that you guys were making about how good the wide receivers are. Here in Philly, everyone is up in arms about the Eagles letting Dante Stallworth walk.
I agree.
And that their receivers can't get separation. In New England, you guys are talking about Stallworth as a backup. Also, Andy is so hard-headed. I agree.
Yes.
Although he may think he knows more than BB, I think I'll put my faith in the guy who is known as one of the best coaches in the NFL. Adalis Thomas already made a huge play on the inside, and it is eating Andy up. Not to mention, last year, the Patriots couldn't stop LT at all, and I don't think that it's a coincidence that with AD plugging the middle that he ran for 40 yards last week. Finally, I have the following. I have the fellow, your team package. I don't know what this is. I have to follow your team package on iTunes. I don't speak geek. I'm sorry. What is that? What's a team package
I can't
on
really
iTunes?
Read.
I can read what he wrote. I just don't know what
I
it
know
means.
The NFL offers team package highlights. Maybe
team
that's
package on iTunes, which gives you the highlights of every game from the team of your choice.
Okay.
See, now he actually wrote choose, Fred, but I wrote team of your choice because I knew what he meant. Okay. That's where I would separate myself from you. Afterward, they have some press conferences of both teams, and I heard the sheriff asking LT a question.
Well,
LT's voice cracks more
big.
Than Fred Kirsch's, which I thought was impossible.
You're on iTunes.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. Wow. God.
He says, patch 24, Bills?
6?
20.
Ooh.
So PJ game. Thinks it's going to be a much closer game than we do.
PJ, I want to do this someday in the locker room, but it's getting hard because Stallworth's one of the guys now that everyone goes to. And I'll keep you updated on this. I just want to ask him how much interest the Eagles showed in him, and if there was ever a chance he would end up back there. Because I'm with you. I'm wondering why didn't they make more of an effort to sign this guy?
No sense.
It doesn't.
No sense.
They didn't go out and get anybody else. And you know, maybe he won't tell me, but he usually answers your questions. So if I can ever get him, you know, alone, which he's like Ellis Hobbs now, it's darn near impossible.
Yeah, we probably a couple of things in the locker room today. Ellis Hobbs. With his Iowa State jersey, mm-hmm. Fred, red and yellow Iowa State jersey number 11, says that it was to signify the return of his program because they had a big win last weekend against Iowa. And Bill actually let him wear the uniform out at practice, evidently, throughout the week. So he was very excited about that.
He wore his Iowa State uniform out in practice?
Yeah, yeah. He was very excited about their win over Iowa.
And they'll be 2-0 after their win over Toledo this week.
Now, maybe Bill was giving him a hard time with the whole Iowa thing because Bill's boy, Kirk, maybe that's where that went.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why he won the right to wear it. I don't know. But anyway, he was all jacked up.
Yes, and Ray Ventrone getting screwed again. Got his locker next to Ellis Hobbs, can't even get in. I told him, I said, Ray, you drew the short straw here, baby. I said, you're never going to be able to get in. Because all the media is always around. So, once again, Raven. Now, I want it to be known that he was late getting dressed for practice because of all the media around, Ventrone was. So, if he gets cut, it's the fault of the media, not Ray Ventrone.
Okay. What's his wife going to do? She's going to have to get another
job. I don't know. Well, at least I'll know there's an opening. Tell Allison.
Our buddy Simon is in Phuket.
Oh, he hasn't written in a while.
And now they just had a big disaster there, did they not?
Did they? I don't know.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of something different because if Fred doesn't know, then maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I certainly don't.
Because you're usually up to date on the real news, whereas Tom and I are only interested
now
in sports.
He's had a rough week.
This is the new Fred. Now he draws stick figures on the paper while he's
waiting.
It's
been a rough week. I haven't really been keeping up with much.
All right. So Simon says, I see what I did there. On yesterday's show, an emailer asked you to speculate on who could potentially be the next head coach if Bill moved on. Who'd you guys come up with?
I said Cower. Well, Fred doesn't like Cower.
Most people said Cower, but I don't want him.
It's actually pronounced Phuket.
A name he would like to add is Sean Payton. I think he's a good young coach with his own style, and it also seems to be the case that NFL head coaches seem to be much better in their second attempt at the job. It certainly was the case for Bill Belichick. Well, I think he has a job, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. You know, he's only in the second year.
Yeah, I don't see him leaving anytime soon.
After a very successful first one, now he's obviously struggling out of the gates in year two. But
we thought that they should do whatever they can to lure Jimmy Johnson out of retirement.
I think that ship has sailed, literally and figuratively.
I don't think he'll come back.
Yeah, and he's too busy fishing in Miami. don't you think?
Yeah, he's not coming back to coaching. He doesn't want to.
I don't want any part of him anyway.
But we don't have to worry. He'd win a Bill's going to be here for a long, long time.
What was that?
Bill's going to be here for a long, long time. Well, not to worry about it.
It would certainly appear that way with an extension signed reportedly through 2013, Fred.
Right.
He outlasted me.
What does that mean? You're leaving?
By 2013, I think he'll... Don't be so sure,
Paul. You could be still here.
He'll have killed me by then.
You could still be here bringing in your TV clothes on Friday.
He will literally have killed me by then.
I don't think so.
Also...
it would be Andy. I'll be sitting there. When are you going to retire, guys, Paul, so we can get on the show?
You guys aren't going to be here either. If he stays that long, we're not going to be in existence now.
We're on the pay-no-mind list.
Also, can you guys give your opinion on Steven Gostkowski? He missed another field goal in the Chargers game, and is starting to look nervous on anything over 30 yards. Can you at least see a veteran kicker being signed to the practice squad to help him out or give him some competition? Well, you can't really sign a veteran to the practice squad. That's
right.
One problem with that. But do you think there's any time to apply a little competition? Bring someone in at a tryout?
I'm slightly nervous. I mean... I mean, not nervous, but concerned is the word, because this goes all the way back to training camp now, where he hasn't really looked good. And, yeah, if the Patriots beat everybody 38-14, they're not going to need him.
Right.
But if they ever get in a close game, you're going to need your kicker.
Well, a lot of people are wondering where Eric the Leg is. He's out there giving the competition during practice.
That could be.
Yeah.
That could be. But I'm just wondering if it's worth their while to bring someone in on a tryout. You know, they're constantly bringing guys into Gillette. Update their list, maybe just to kind of send a message, say, hey.
Isn't Gramatica roaming around there now? He got hurt.
You know, get someone in here. And
maybe when he gets healthy, they bring him back in.
What do you think, Fred?
Possibly. I think we'd have to see him, struggle more than he is now. This would, have to become a trend.
I would put this kind of in the red zone defense category. Yeah. I'm not overly concerned
now.
But I am watching, and I'm keeping an eye. I don't think it's meaningless.
I think we're all watching.
Well, the only reason I'm concerned, because it was in training camp.
I was going to say, if he didn't have such a bad preseason training camp, I wouldn't be that
preseason,
worried.
Now it's in the right. So you've got three different things to go by here, and none of it's been good.
He missed a lot of kicks.
How much of it do you think has to do with the holder? I mean, having different holders and that kind of
thing. I think that's probably an issue.
That's a question for Eric.
I think that's probably an issue.
Cold pizza.
Well, I'm actually I'm going to partake in that. Gee,
hey,
I'll give you a couple
minutes.
Hey,
Chris, tell Eric to call down.
Well, I don't know.
Well, Chris is listening probably. Have Eric call down. We'll ask him about the holder when you kick.
Eric is probably
from experience,
practice, though,
dude.
I would imagine, unless he completely took the whole day off.
He said he wasn't leaving his computer.
Anyway, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back after this.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush. Got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots. Free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
He's going to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians Patriots poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin. Wow.
Patriots extra points because fans want contact too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. I've changed seats with Paul. I'm back in the big chair.
Tom's back where you belong,
Diet
Freddy.
Pepsi, eating cold pizza. Paul's here. Gary's here.
I never see Tom drink Diet Pepsi either.
Because we're out of water, he says.
All
right.
What?
We have 8 cases of water.
How many?
8. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com.
8.
Remember, after the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to be going around the NFL and doing our picks. Is Andy coming down for that?
I don't think he's here.
Where is he?
Christ's sakes.
He had issues with Jackson.
Well, that's
had to take him to the doctors.
It's taking a long time. Huh?
He Those mentioned things, to me yesterday that he didn't know if he would be here.
The upper GIs take a while to do, so I don't know how long it's going to be.
Well, went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire.
What about Eric? You coming down?
Oh, he's got too much work to do. Are you kidding me?
He's swamped.
But you know, the only thing he can do is, you know, talk to his friends on the phone and
gab
in the
office.
Taking shots.
All right.
He'll be down here in 5 minutes. Yeah. I don't care.
Let's get back to some emails. Eric in Manchester says, do you think the Cowboys talk to Tank about the Chicago D? I see the Jets bring in expats a lot. Is this common in the NFL? I'm in an argument on a message board about this practice in the NFL, and I say it's common. Am I right?
Well, I think it's somewhat common.
I think it's common.
I don't think the Cowboys did it for that because I think they need a defensive tackle. They lost Jason Ferguson. They have very little depth there, and I think they just needed somebody. Now, is it a little added benefit for them? Maybe, but I think they actually signed Tank Johnson because they needed him. Now, when the Jets do it or when the Patriots do it or when other teams do it with those guys, yeah, I think they're asking them what's going on.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not positive.
No, it is common, so you won the argument.
Yeah, I think it's common, too. We're all in agreement. You guys, it's my understanding that when a guy is suspended, that suspension doesn't start until he's actually on a team. Is that correct? So he'd have to sit out 8 weeks from now to serve that suspension. The first 2 weeks don't count.
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it can't because you're not on a team.
Right.
Because if they suspend you for a season and you just retire, you can't come back after a year.
So now my point is if he'd already gotten 2 weeks in, you could make a stronger argument that they only brought him in to pick the brain for Chicago. And, you know, they obviously want him. They gave him a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
So, they want him. But, you know, if he, you know, wasn't going to be able to be eligible – until whenever, but he's got to sit out anyway.
Right.
So it benefits them to bring him in sooner rather than later because that 8-week clock wouldn't start. They obviously want the guy.
Right.
So that 8-week clock wouldn't start. And I think that there's definitely an element of you pick the other guy, the guy's brain, but
that's
I think Tom's right. They obviously need
that's probably not a great example, but it does happen all the time. Like with, you know, Ben Tron and guys that.
I mean, I think the Jets and Patriots have brought it to a new level.
I was going to say, look at all the guys that have gone back and forth. But not only with the Jets and for the Patriots. I mean, Jonathan Smith came in last year before the opener with Buffalo, and he was kind of here and gone and then back.
Apparently he didn't know about that blitz up the middle.
Yeah, evidently they didn't tell him about that blitz on the first play of the game. But I just think it's one of those things. You do your due diligence. He came down.
Eric's here.
Were you listening?
I know from experience, dude.
All right. I don't care.
Let's see. Craig from Boxborough says, just wanted to thank Tom for tearing down all those people in ASPFW who try to take the moral high ground. Fans need to give up their fantasy that the Patriots won't take certain players based on character, although character counts. They take players who give them the best chance to win. Also, I don't care who plays for my team. I still root for the Pats, and whoever's on the Pats, I could care less about cheating or HGH as long as my guys don't get caught. I want wins. When I sit down and watch a game, it's for entertainment. I don't really want to think about who's cheating and who isn't. P.S. Who wins in a fight, B-Lo or Scalavino?
B-Lo.
Come on. Oh, man, you are.
Again, I think there are a couple of broken purses in that fight. I don't care.
The reason I would be so disappointed with Rodney Harrison is because he's stupid. Using his name and credit card. I mean, come on. Be smarter than that. He's better than that.
Yeah, I'm in the minority. I don't want a team full of choir boys by any stretch. I want good football players, but I would try the best I could to, if I knew about a guy who I didn't think was a good person.
It's part of the equation.
But if I knew about a guy, I wouldn't be acquiring that guy. We don't have to go in the past about the different guys.
On the opposite,
and I'm in a vast minority about that. Most people.
On the spectrum, Paul. Yeah. Now, say you're the Cowboys and you get into some trouble. Now you have Tank Johnson. You have a whole arsenal at your dispense. I mean, you just he just brings the guns and boom. You know what I mean? So there are advantages.
I think, you know, as a coach or a GM, you weigh your team and you say, okay, how's it, you know, I've talked to this guy. I've done my homework. Do I think he's a repeat offender? Do I think, you know, he can straighten up his
and
ass?
Some teams are better than that.
The way I would like
are
it.
Are better at that than
right,
others.
Right, right.
Like the Patriots are really good. I would say Dallas is terrible at doing it.
I know that the Patriots do that, and I'm not criticizing them for it. I think they do a really good job of that. But if I was an owner, I would say to myself, let some other team rehab the guy. That's how I would feel about it. And I would probably lose.
I'll fully admit that I would probably lose. Even if you thought by bringing this guy on your team, he would help you win.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're talking about here.
Well,
we're
no,
talking
but
about picking up somebody.
You're not bringing bad guys in to help you lose.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you really, like, Corey Dillon, for example. I mean, they.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance I ever would admit. I don't know why.
I mean, you can make the case that he helped them win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. You can make that. No question.
See, I don't know
he
if
he had a tremendous year in 2004.
I don't know if, as an owner in the NFL, you can afford to have that type of.
Well, you're operating under the assumption they wouldn't have won it without him.
I don't think they would have that year.
Well, I mean, I saw them do it the year before, so I'm pretty sure that they could have done it again.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the way they got rid of Antoine.
I don't know if Antoine Smith would have gotten 1,600 yards. Though,
you know, he was kind of
someone else would have gotten 1,200.
Maybe.
Maybe they had just done it. They had done it twice in the previous 3 years.
I know, but
it's
I think Antoine
they
Smith
hadn't won
done.
It, and then he put him over the top.
They needed a running back. Let's put it that way.
But
maybe they would have gotten another one, but they needed a running back.
No, look, he had a great year. I'm just not willing to make the leap that they don't win the Super Bowl without him.
Well,
I'm not willing to make that leap.
We'll never know that, but he certainly helped them.
Like, I could make a leap in 2001. They don't win the Super Bowl without Brady. I can make that leap because he didn't play that year, and they were 0-2.
And another argument for you, Paul, would be the Eagles. They couldn't get to the they signed T.O. Like you said, the Patriots had already won the Super Bowl, and then they signed Dillon, and they won another one. But the Eagles couldn't get to that point, and then they signed T.O.,
and then they
got him over the top.
And I know even the detractors would say that he didn't play in the playoffs, but I would say they were poised to get there because of what he did in that season.
I would, too. I don't know. I just think that as an NFL owner, I don't think you can afford to be that selective. I understand it's nice to think that
you're
way,
right, Fred. I mean, that's. I think I would lose if I had.
I want to play Paul's team.
If I had a position of power,
Bunch of Wes Welkers. We'll cream the crap out of them.
Oh, you wouldn't have Wes Welker on it.
That's true. Well, who would you have, Paul? You wouldn't have any, you wouldn't have the TOs, and you wouldn't have the Wes Welkers.
I'll say this. I have no idea why I seem to have the affinity for Randy Moss that I do, because he would seem to fly in the face of all my other thoughts and opinions.
He's
but
not
Randy
that
Moss,
bad a guy.
Randy Moss would be on my team.
So you'd
if
have
I could.
Drew Bledsoe and Randy Moss.
Tom Brady. I can't have Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Carson Palmer.
They're on my team. I got all the talent.
No, I'm about talent. You're about outlaw talent. And by the way, speaking of outlaw talent, Fred, have the Dallas Cowboys supplanted the Oakland Raiders as the wayward?
Because of Tank Johnson?
The home for Tank Johnson.
Yeah.
He's
I
just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, Quincy Carter was snorting cocaine in college. All the GMs knew that, for Christ's sakes, except for Jerry Jones.
Terrell Owens.
The White House during the 90s.
White House.
Well, during the 90s, that's a whole different
stuff. Yeah, that's a different
but
generation.
The whole, but the 90s,
they're
I
the
mean,
modern,
that was
they're the modern era
a whole
Oakland
different
Raiders.
World there.
They're winning, though.
Yeah.
The Oakland Raiders won 3 Super Bowls.
I mean,
and they were considered the home for wayward souls. Every guy who got in trouble somewhere in their NFL career went to Oakland for that second chance. And, of course, at the time, we in Boston hated the Oakland Raiders for that reason. Things are a little different
just,
now.
Just for Patriot fans, back in those early 90s, there's no doubt in my mind Jimmy Johnson was cheating. I don't know if he was using a camera. I don't know what he was doing, but trust me, he was cheating. The Cowboys were doing all kinds of drugs, I mean, all over the place. I'm sure most of them were on steroids, and they won 3 Super Bowls, and nobody cared.
Well, nobody caught him.
Nobody in Dallas.
That's right.
You know?
You only care if you get caught.
That's right.
Why I said with Rodney it's stupid, because he got caught by being stupid.
All right, let's see. Karen is from Scituate, Rhode Island. She says, love the show. Tom Casale's the best. I'm a huge Pats fan. As much as I love the win over the Chargers, the feeling of disappointment still lingers. I cannot tell you how much I'm disappointed in our head coach. For someone who does not like any distractions, Bill can certainly create a few of his own, like last year when he spent more than enough time on how to craft sentences without mentioning Eric Mangini's name, the handshake, and now the video camera. He put his players and his owner in a terrible position last week and really shook the foundation of the fan base. I'm really angry about that, she says.
Some people are still mad.
Yeah.
Still mad.
All right, Gary, what time should we start the picks?
1:30.
Oh, 1:30? Okay. I just want to get – Robert is from Brisbane, Australia. And he says it's 2 o'clock in the morning there, and he's studying statistics. He's been listening to PFW for a year now and thought he'd write and say hi. I'm still trying to figure out how to buy food for you guys. I know it's going to involve a credit card, but do you have any suggestions with food outlets that would work? My 2 questions are these. How can people claim this offense is cheating this season, like Tony and Mike from PTI the other day, when Randy Moss is not getting press coverage at the line and is supposedly carrying a slight strain in his hamstring? Nobody's covering him. Other defenses are just stupid. And when they had 3 players on him in the play-action pass in the Jets game, it didn't look like we cheated the defense. I'm not naive enough to say that we haven't received any advantage from cheating, because I think it's rampant in the entire NFL. But I think that this offense is genuinely great. On the defensive side, Vince Wilfork is our best player. He's easily a top 3 defensive tackle in the entire NFL. And secondly, what movie or show was that soundbite? It was my understanding there would be no math. Keep up the great work, and keep me interested while I'm studying my stats.
I got to tell you, I agree with that entire email.
Yeah,
with
so
the exception
I.
of the rampant part of everybody else, because I've had enough people around the league say that that's not the case. But everything else, these teams have gone after Randy Moss in a way that I find astounding.
Yeah, and that's what Felger's
how they haven't
is,
tried
is
to rough him
them...
up at the line of scrimmage and force him to run by you instead of watching him run by you, I don't have any idea.
I think they're just sitting back trying to react to whatever Brady does, because
if you try, do that, he'll kill you.
That's my point.
Yeah,
yeah. And if they do for some reason stop the wide receivers, then you've got Maroney, Morris, Evans, all those guys.
I'm not
guys
even
fall.
Talking about double, triple. I'm just saying this, the way that you go about trying to cover Moss, how you can give him free release after free release off the line when he's a guy dealing with leg issues is beyond me. Make him put pressure on him.
But he's a big guy. Who's going to try to jam him at the line?
Oh, you have to, though.
How many corners?
But how can you just let him run free, Eric?
Because if you let him run free, you saw what's going to happen. So you might as well try to take a chance. Since I've been here, I can tell you this. The only way to beat the Patriots is to jam receivers and get pressure off the edge on Tom Brady. Because if you don't touch the receivers and you let Brady stand in the pocket, then we might as well not even board the plane because you're wasting my time. No chance at all.
He's right. And I think, in general, that's how you have to attack all of the good quarterbacks.
So then why don't they do that?
I don't know. Fred, if you were a defensive coordinator, which tape would you put on? Because for me, it would be the Dolphins game from last year where the Patriots
would
score a point.
Yeah. Think about the teams that have really been successful in the past couple of years slowing down the Patriots. At times, it's been Pittsburgh. At times. Not all the time, but at times.
The Jets last year.
Denver.
Right.
Miami.
Yeah.
What do they all do? How did they all do in those games?
They pressure Brady.
They said, we're going to come after him every play, and we're going to get as physical as we can with the receivers to make sure they're not wide open at the snap every play. The Jets, they went into that game with a totally different game plan than they had in the playoff game last year and in the regular season.
It's almost like they overthought it. Well, they know they were going to do this.
I think you're right, Fred. There was too much thinking involved.
Right, right.
It's my understanding that there would be no math.
Okay, let's see.
You going to tell them what that's from?
Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's from Jeopardy, right?
No.
What is that from originally?
A long time ago.
What is that line from?
I think it was a presidential debate.
Yeah, it was the presidential debate.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
That
was it like Jimmy Carter or something?
Yeah, he's probably Gerald Ford, right?
Gerald Ford.
It was Ford, yeah.
Ford and Carter, though.
I'm impressed with Tom with the political knowledge.
No, it's a Saturday Night Live.
I know, but you
he only knows it's the Chevy Chase knowledge. I know all my politics.
it's the pop culture aspect of the
You should have taken
knowledge.
The compliment, Tom.
Tom votes. He gets in there, pulls his lever, and says,
I've done my duty.
But how often in one election
do
you vote?
I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there,
Chicago.
I've done my duty. Well, is Hillary Rodham Clinton running? Because if she's running, it's going to be about 500 times.
I'm voting early and often.
Yeah. Let's see. Craig from South Carolina says, the Bills have played against some good teams, but have only scored 17 points. Lynch has averaged about 75 yards a game, but Losman is yet to throw a TD. Pats will limit Bills to 9 points. Pats win 31-9. So here's some over-unders.
That's about what I would expect, by the way. I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Ready for some over-unders, guys?
Sure, absolutely.
Over-under. Brady will have more or less than 16 touchdowns this year.
Who? 16?
16.
16.
Christ, he's 2 weeks away from it.
Craig, what are you doing?
Well, I'll go over.
Brady, more or less.
Say more.
Again.
Wait, I thought we weren't supposed to use those words. It was last week on the show.
Oh,
I don't
remember.
He forgot, probably.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My apologies to Craig.
I know you
screwed
it up.
Looking at the defenses of our next three opponents.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, brother.
So over the next three games.
So it's Brady Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. All those defenses suck.
Right.
Wait a minute. So he's going to throw 16 in 3 weeks?
In 3 weeks.
I'll go under.
Even though they stink. Right. You can run it, too.
Okay. More or less than 1,500 yards for Brady.
In those three games.
Three games? Yeah, there's no way.
Come on. Under. Unless he's talking about combining what he's already done. So, in other words, nine.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about,
Craig. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can Fred just not read?
Is this Craig from South Carolina?
No, it is Craig, and Freddie's right. I think he means, looking at the defense of our next three opponents, will Brady have more or less than 16 touchdowns? I think total.
Total?
Is that Craig from South Carolina?
No, I'll say under anyway.
Jesus, man. You really got to sharpen up your game, Craig. You've been disappointing.
How
this
about
year.
The Patriots being 5-0? Good chance of that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How about being the number one scoring defense?
Yes.
So that means like points allowed?
No, I'm going to say no because they got Cincinnati. I think that's going to be a high scoring game.
All right. He must mean the season, so I'll go with that. Maroney will have more or less than 400 yards.
For the season, I like his chance.
For the first five games. For the first five
games. I don't
know.
What
has
he got now? This is so stupid.
He's got about 140, 100.
No, he has 100.
Yes. 70 and 70, right?
He has about 150 yards.
That's
140. It's about 150
yards. He's got to be about 150 yards.
Yeah.
Because I think he was in the 70s both games.
75 in the first game and 77 in the last game.
Okay,
so it's 152.
Yeah. So 400 in five games? I think so. I'll say yes.
Yeah, why is he focused on his first five games?
I'm not playing anymore.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
Craig, we're just not smart enough to figure out those things. You have to make it easy on us.
By the dawn's early light.
let's see. Dan says they just tuned in, so feel free to skip over this question if you already touched on it. I don't think the Bills will be able to match up against – yeah, we've already touched on it.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew it.
Eric says what he'd like to see Sunday. He'd like to see Asante intercept Losman, take it to the house. He'd like to see Maroney break a run over 30 yards. He'd like to see Stallworth catch something deep. And he'd like to see Randy have at least 8 catches and keep him happy.
Well, that's
well, he's not expecting too much, is he?
Well, that's an interesting thing, though, about Samuel. When's he going to start, you think? Because I was thinking about that today in the locker room.
I was thinking about that in the locker room, too, and I think it makes absolutely no sense to do what they've done. What is the purpose of him not being on the field for the first play of the game and yet playing the 70 subsequent plays? Does that make any sense? I mean, what is that a punishment, do you think? Why do you think that
maybe
is?
Maybe there's something in the contract about starts.
No, it's about percentage
of reps.
Based on what we've
been... Yeah, but he's getting a lot of reps.
He's getting plenty of reps, but maybe
based on what we've been told, it's a percentage of snaps, right. Not starts.
Right.
Well, maybe that has nothing to do with the franchise. Maybe there's another bonus in there that has to do with
the
number
of starts.
Yeah,
but then he would be complaining.
I was going to say, then he'd have a grievance to file.
He'd be saying, hey, come on now.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just don't think. I mean, I would imagine that it's some sort of disciplinary thing.
That's what I think.
But I just, what point are you trying to prove?
John for the Pats, please no names for the Patriots offense. All those names like the Purple Eaters are hokey and demeaning, especially in retrospect. Brady Bunch, please one strong vote for no cutesy names.
See, I like those names because they were good ones. Doomsday, the Steel Curtain, those were great.
Great teams never have these names.
You're right. The Cowboys, right. The Steelers. The
49ers.
You think the Celtics of Bird, Parrish, McHale need a name, or the Niners
the
of
Big
Montana,
three.
Or even the Cowboys
they
of
had
Aikman?
A name.
The triplets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on now. That's one of the worst emails
it's
you ever
like
read.
It's like batting practice.
None of the great teams have it. What was the Dolphins? Weren't they the no-name
defense?
No-name
defense.
So every great team
and
has
then
had
the
had
Killer
a nickname.
Bees.
The Killer Bees.
Yeah, and didn't
the
Cowboys had the Doomsday defense?
Yeah.
The
Steel Curtain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So pretty much every great team has had a nickname.
Even the ones that were kind of good, not really great, had nicknames.
Right.
The Fearsome Foursome.
Yeah.
Right.
Purple Peel Eaters. Yeah.
Sack Exchange. New York
Sack Exchange. Good one, Fred. Good one.
You know what?
Good one.
I hate the Jets, but that was a good nickname.
It was a very good nickname.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So what should we call the Patriots?
I don't know. The offenses, I think, are much harder. I think.
How about the two-minute men?
Sounds good.
Because it's so good at the two-minute drill. No?
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
It's either the Brady Bunch or it's nothing. That's the only thing that fits.
Okay. Let's see. Who's this? I hate when they don't give us an... Oh, Andy in Vermont puts it in the subject. He says, I wonder how Donovan would have dealt with the stuff that Doug Williams or Warren Moon had to put up with. Since those two's played, I really have to believe it has made a difference for McNabb and every other, quote, black QB, unquote, since. If a QB wins, they'll love him. If not, we all know the fans will turn, the media will criticize, and the heat will come. Like it or not, that's life in the NFL.
The Bills? They're saying Drew.
I think the Bills are in a world of hurt or are going to be this Sunday. And as I love to say, hey, JP, you've got another loss, man. And firing squad, that stinks. I heard a bunch of better ones yesterday.
Well, and I agree with the quarterback thing because if you look at two of the most marketable quarterbacks over the last couple of years, it's been Vic and McNabb. Now, if those two guys continue to win, the fans would absolutely love them. How many Vic jerseys do you see? You know what I mean? By white people wearing them. It's not like they're right. So I just think you're right, Fred. I think quarterback, it's all about winning and losing, especially in Philadelphia. I mean, look what we're talking about
here. That's a tough place.
I said to Paul earlier, you bring that Kevin Cobb in there, if he can't play, they'll boo the heck out of him, too.
They'll give him, like, 2 games.
Right.
And then, you know, the kid gloves will be on.
Yeah, Garcia would have got killed last year. Right. It just happened that he got on a hot streak.
But I think it's a good point also to say,
I just didn't feel real crisp.
What guys like Doug Williams and Warren Moon especially went through, James Harris in the 70s. Those guys, those guys were deprived of the opportunity to play quarterback.
Major Harris.
Because they were black.
Doug Flutie.
Oh. Major Major Harris. One of the best college quarterbacks I ever saw. No different than Donovan McNabb. If he was playing 10 years later, he would have gotten drafted higher than the 12th round by the Raiders. Trust me.
We were talking earlier about, you know, maybe bringing in a veteran to push Guskowski a little bit? What about Mike Vanderjack, says Robert?
Now we're trying to become the Raiders? Trying to surpass the Cowboys?
That was in reference to just the Cowboys bringing in.
The Cowboys. Okay, I was going to say, last team that brought them in was him was the Cowboys, and we saw how
he
that
wouldn't be
out.
The veteran I would think to bring in.
That's gotten around the league about him because no one's even considering bringing him in.
Vanderjack, you're talking about?
Yeah, he's just a jerk.
Yeah.
Anybody see HBO last night inside the NFL?
I forgot it was on.
Guys says, do any of you see the show? They had some interesting shots of both the Patriot and Chargers sidelines. Brady was as pumped up as I've ever seen him. LT was yelling at some teammate for getting into it with some Pats fans in the crowd. You could tell the game meant everything to the Patriots. The Chargers are a mess on the sidelines as well on
field. I think that's a very accurate description of what happened Sunday night.
Yeah, I think the Chargers got shell-shocked off the beginning.
And they looked like a team that had lost its focus, and I put that right where Tom put it, on the coach. Yeah. You could tell right from that report that Andrea Kramer gives about, I didn't give them the offensive game plan in writing. I only did it your mind is not where it's supposed to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're showing your team that other things are important to you than what we're supposed to be. We're out of our routine.
Yeah.
And that, to me, shows you that you've lost your focus, and that trickles all the way down, and it was evident on the field where one team was incredibly prepared and the other team wasn't. And that's what happens when you get blowouts between teams that ostensibly should be pretty evenly matched.
All right, John on the phone from Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
A nickname, how about the Minutemen?
That's Fred. He likes the
Fred,
two-man.
Yeah, that was Fred's idea earlier.
No.
I don't like the two-man. I just like the Minutemen because it's...
You know what that implies, don't you?
Yeah, I know what it implies. And my true or false would be like...
I don't think Gary got it.
True or false, do you think the Patriots... Well, who on the current NFL team do you think the Patriots would most like to have on their team as a free agent next year?
Who is a free agent or just anybody?
Would be a free agent next year that they could have on their team.
I don't know what the free agent class is.
Yeah, I haven't really looked at it closely.
Is there a guy
yet
you want to know if we're interested in?
Yeah, well, my answer would be that this is a middle linebacker from, I think he plays Bengals right now, even though Bengals defense is terrible. He's pretty young, and I think we still need
Ahmad Brooks?
Yeah.
Isn't he only his second year?
He
only signed a 3-year contract, and he can opt out after this year.
Oh, because of the special circumstances when he got remember he got taken in the supplemental draft. I don't know. I'm doing the preview for the Bengals, and I've been looking it up, and they've been having a terrible time with their linebackers. They've been underperforming. They're injured, so I'm not even sure how good he's been yet. I'll have to look more into it, but I don't know. I mean, he played at Virginia for Al Groh. You would think that if Bill liked him and Al Groh gave him a good recommendation, they would have taken him in the supplemental draft when he was available.
All right. I don't think Patriots would pick anyone in supplemental. I don't care if it was Tom Brady, if he would pass him by in the supplemental.
Well, they've done it before. They've done it before, John.
Be the perfect guy.
All right. That's John at Palm Bay. Thanks for the call. We're going to go do our picks after this break. Before we go to the break, I want to play this thing from Fitzy online. I hope I can get this to work.
The little giggle.
Boy,
what is this?
Hold on. Ouch. Oh, it's not working.
Look what he is doing.
All right, never mind.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America.
Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's going to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Okay, Gary helped me figure this out. Now, picture this. You got a guy lying on his bed, and he's looking at the camera. He's got a wool Patriots hat on and a Brady shirt. Now, that sets the scene. Now, I'll play it for you. Never mind. Forget it. Forget. Oh, my computer just. Never mind. All right.
It's going.
No. Go.
Fred, would you like me to effort it so I can play it through the board?
Yes.
It would be easier?
I asked you to do that earlier.
Man's a menace.
His mic is falling off.
My mic fell off. My computer had a box that came on it. I don't know. All right.
All right. Well, Eric.
There have been a lot of times that I've been embarrassed to be a member of PFW in Progress.
Is this one of them, Paul?
None have ever surpassed the current moment.
I'm just trying
to
get.
You never know what will happen when Fred Kirsch hosts PFW in Progress.
I'm trying to treat the fans to a little humor here.
Well, speaking of humor, let's ask Eric a question.
Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.
We were talking about the kicking and how Gostkowski was in a slump, as you would put it. What effect does the holder have on that, if any?
Well, it's huge. I mean,
how though? Like, can't I just hold a ball like everyone else?
Well, not
Gary, I don't want you to record that one.
No, not every kicker wants the ball held the same way, because each kicker has his own style of
you mentioned how you like the ball. Tell us, Adam. How you do like it held for your field goal try?
No, but seriously, some guys like former Patriot kicker Greg Davis used to want to have it tilted like almost at a 45-degree angle, because he wanted to kick the sweet spot of the ball, like the fat part of the ball, on its side for some reason. And he always just the holder would get
something. I mean, no disrespect to the Orientals, but isn't that something that you can do in practice relatively quick? Like, can't you tell the holder, if you know how to hold, can't you say, well, I want it tilted this way little bit?
See, I always kind of felt like that. Adam liked it tilted slightly forward and to the left.
Right.
If I knew that, and I'm not trying to be a smart guy, mm-hmm. How long did it take the holder to get it so he did it 150 straight times? Okay. Slightly forward and to the left.
Yeah, it should only take. It should
know,
only
how
take
long
a,
does that take?
It should only take a few days of practice.
Yeah.
So within from 1 week to the next, you should be able to get that nailed down.
Now, what I would say extenuating circumstances is something like last year, where it went from Josh Miller to Ken mm-hmm. Walter to Matt Cassel in a 3 week span.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not the best thing for a kicker.
No, but Gostkowski did fine last year.
Right.
He now didn't
this,
have the
this year it's
year.
Been Hansen for 3 or 4 weeks now.
Right. Well, that's why I don't.
Three weeks
I,
anyway.
I don't think it's the holder that's been the problem with Gostkowski. I mean, it was in the Jets game, obviously.
I was very impressed with your Greg Davis, by the way. What, I mean, you know exactly how Greg Davis wanted it held.
It was his idol.
Well, no, that's one of the things I used to study when I was a high school player. I used to want to know what NFL players did, because that's what I wanted to do. So I used to study that when the team used to practice at Bryan, I used to, back in the day when you could just walk the field after practice and go up to players and talk to them, I used to do that with whoever the kicker was on the team. I try to get knowledge from them on what they used to do. So
I know.
All right, Gary has this thing queued up now. This is the guy in his bed, and let's go.
Didn't look funny to me.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Belichick? He's been going through a hard time. He got a divorce. He lost his dad. He loves his team. Sometimes he has his kids on the sideline. Leave him alone. All you people care about is going on TV and telling your stories and writing crap about him so you can sell your newspapers. Leave Bill Belichick alone. He's a human being. He brings joy to the NFL and Patriot fans alike. He's helped them win 3 Super Bowls and made Tom Brady the quarterback that he is today. Leave him alone. It was just a little videotape. Everyone's trying to get a competitive edge in the NFL. They saw some signals. Leave him alone. LaDainian Tomlinson said that in New England, if you're not cheating, then you're not trying. Oh, yeah, LaDainian? What about your friend Sean Merriman? When he took steroids, was he trying? Leave him alone. Leave Belichick alone. Right now! It was just a little videotape.
You never know what'll happen when Fred Kirsch hosts PFW in Progress.
That was the stupidest thing I have ever heard.
Oh, he's going to fall off his chair.
It is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
The guy crying was annoying as hell, but watching Fred laugh it was worth the price of it.
Those of you out there, if you heard me laughing, it was because I was laughing at Fred. Exactly. Not that
our
thing.
Mics weren't up that whole time? I was seriously wondering at first when the funny part was coming. Honestly thought if you weren't in the room, there would have been dead silence throughout that whole thing.
It was hysterical. It was awful.
So I guess the four of us are just morons, and we don't find it.
Let me know what that.
Well, I got it from the fans, so they think it's funny too.
I'd like to know who thinks that's funny.
I didn't find this on my own.
I'd like to. I would seriously like to know who thinks that's funny.
And once again, I have to call to Patriots fandom to prove Paul wrong. Let's get the
emails. I thought it was stupid.
People that know about this.
There are four Patriots fans sitting right here that didn't find it.
Well, I don't know about four, Paul.
Well, again,
I think maybe 2.5 or what.
Again,
you know.
I'll compare my games attended without getting paid to do so with yours anytime.
Okay. Here we go.
All right. Anytime you want to start
with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.
Fred, Gary, did you think it was funny?
What was funny about it?
It was hysterical.
Tell the truth. Did you think it was funny?
I just think
it was annoying. It was some moron on his bed. It didn't make. I thought he was going to make something. It was stupid.
It's just funny. His character. He's a professional comedian. His character is
that makes it worse.
That makes it worse. Let me know where he's playing so I can see him. So I can throw an egg at his head. The guy is freaking terrible.
Well, you're going to hear from fans.
That's a recurring character that he does. Yeah, this whiny crybaby thing.
No,
I'll tell you right now. Right now. If that guy's making money, Andy Hart is in the wrong profession because he's way funnier than that.
In my opinion, that sucked.
Okay.
Andy Hart is in the wrong profession, by the way. But I don't think he would make it as a comedian either because you're really the only one who finds him funny.
Well, at least I would go. I wouldn't go to see this Fitzy guy or whatever the heck his name is. Awful.
Fitzy.
Terrible.
No, he's got a whole site called townynews.com.
Oh, thank God. I can't wait to go to it. Is there anything on there funnier than that?
Do you know this guy? Are you trying to, like, help him out?
No, I'm serious. All the fans are talking about it.
Who? I never even heard of it.
You haven't gone to the bulletin
boards? I haven't
seen
anybody talking about Fitzy.
What was funny? What was funnier, Tom, that thing or the thing that we watched yesterday?
The thing that we watched yesterday was much funnier.
What did you think, Paul?
I didn't watch it. I'm sorry.
What'd you watch?
I'll send it to you.
I was
after.
Hoping that he didn't ask me. I didn't want to have to lie, but I'll
send it to you later. It's a little spoof on the Jets game.
Oh, okay. Ron in Florida's on the phone. Ron, how you doing?
Oh, good. I thought that was hilarious.
Thank you.
That's what I figured.
That's the spoof on Britney Spears.
Why?
Why do you figure that, Paul?
Oh, what is wait, it, a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. What said? Is it? That's a spoof on Britney Spears?
Well, there was a big internet clip where some woman was crying and doing the same thing about leave Britney Spears alone.
Okay, my apologies.
Let's find that.
My total apologies, Fred. I didn't realize that.
If you find that clip about the girl screaming on the internet about Britney Spears,
listen to me.
Then you really
I'm being dead serious.
Clip.
I apologize a thousand times. I didn't know that.
Now, Ron,
I didn't know that. I apologize a thousand times.
I heard something about that.
Did you know that, Fred?
But I didn't. I never saw
it. I thought it was
clip.
Funny. Funny.
So there you go. Fred thought it was funny without that. Now that makes sense. Okay.
But no, if you see the other spoof, you can really appreciate this.
So she was saying, leave Britney alone.
And that woman was serious?
Right.
That woman was serious, Ron?
That makes it a lot funnier then.
Ron, is there any profanity on this?
Serious. I hope she wasn't. If not, she needs to be put away, but.
Well, Gary has the other one, too.
Is there any profanity on this, Ron?
On the.
The Britney Spears one.
Not that I remember. Not that they've shown on TV.
Well, not that he remembers.
It doesn't matter. Fred's here anyway, so we'll try.
I wouldn't play it.
Well, thanks, Ron.
If you
can
play it on the radio, it makes sense.
Well, thanks for clearing that up, Ron.
That makes sense.
I thought it was funny anyway. Well, I sent it to a couple people, and they thought it was funny.
It got a little long at the end, but it was funny.
It got a little long in the beginning.
That's what, Fred, see, that's, it didn't make any sense to me. Like, it just was stupid. Now it makes sense that he was
I apologize a thousand times. I did not know that was a spoof.
We do need this crazy Britney woman for context, though.
I did hear about it. I didn't hear the tape, though.
She wants people to leave Britney alone.
I don't care about Britney Spears. I think she's a fat hack.
Well, she's definitely trying to, you know. She's done.
How about the fact that she left that
hearing? She's been done for 6 years.
That hearing that she had for the custody case for her children, and she went out doing shots and dancing on tables with Avril Lavigne.
The last time she was relevant, she was singing Oops, I Did It Again.
Great song,
let's be
by
honest.
The way.
Yeah, that's what I mean, last time.
All right, let's get to the picks.
Great song or great video, Paul?
Both. Yeah.
All right, picks. Who's in first place? Me.
Paul, what happened last week?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to get the picks right.
Paul's trying to get that image of Britney Spears out of his head.
Paul's engrossed in the paper for some reason. Yeah. Then I looked over, and he's got it on the scorecard section. I don't know what he's doing over there.
What are we doing right now?
Well, you were reading something before that.
I was reading the stories before that when we were listening to that riveting comedy. But I was actually getting the numbers. All right, last week. Our boy Eric bounced back a little bit last week. He did. Let's see. Who won the week last week? Oh, Eric, 12-4.
Wow.
Woohoo.
Now he cares.
Yeah, now he cares.
Now he cares this week.
I cared then. I was just lashing out, Fred.
Okay.
I was next at 11-5. Tom was next at 11-5. Fred and I were at 10-6. Andy was 9-7. With the number. Eric, 9-6-1.
Okay, that's good.
Not bad. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Tom and Fred, 8-7-1.
I'll take anything over 500.
Paul and Andy, 5-10-1.
Ooh.
Wow.
So that leaves the season numbers.
Well, that's done. It's a two-way race between you and me now.
What do you mean? It's only between
you. Just so you know, you're two games ahead of me.
That's right.
No, but the bet is between Fred and I. It's Fred and I. No one else is involved.
But he just said that's done.
Oh,
he's two games ahead
of me. After 2 weeks. By 16, it'll be 16 games.
And Andy is killing you both, so I don't know how done that is.
That's done.
Andy will come back to the pack. He can't bet to save his life, that guy.
Fred is leading the way without the number at 24-8.
That's good, Fred.
Tom, 23-9. Paul and Andy, 22-10. Eric, 21-11.
It's all right. I got plenty of time to make that up.
There's a lot of football left.
Which I intend to do.
With the number, real quick, Andy, 19-14-2. Fred and Tom, 15-15-2. Eric and Paul, 13-17-2.
Got some work to do there.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. So now, why don't you start it? Because you have all the games.
I have to do the games again?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Indianapolis at Houston. Indy by 6.
Did Andy give you his picks yet?
No, but I'll get them from him.
All right. Make sure you do it before the games.
I will, Fred.
All right.
I don't know how we do our jobs without Big Brother.
Who's going first, Eric? Are we starting with Eric? Is that what we do?
Let's start with Eric. Yeah.
All right. I'll go Indy twice. because I like Houston. I like the way they've been playing, but I just don't think that 6 points is going to be enough to overcome the Colts. And I don't think they can go 3-0 with the Colts being the third team in their way here.
Is this in Indy or in Houston?
Houston. No, it doesn't matter.
And okay.
Well, I hate to do this, but I have to go with the Colts both ways simply because Andre Johnson isn't playing, and I think you take him out of that offense and you really hurt it, and that's Matt Schaub's biggest target. So I hate to lay the 6 on the road because Houston's playing well, but I'm going to go with the Colts.
I agree. Andre Johnson is the reason why I will lay the points and go with Indy both ways.
Yeah, same thing, Indy both ways. But I would, even if Andre Johnson was in, I think I still would have gone with Indy both ways.
All right, next up, San Diego. The reeling Chargers will travel to Green Bay to face the surprising 2-0 Packers. 4.5, San Diego. 4.5.
This is a tough one.
I'll take San Diego both ways. I think they're going to bounce back. I think Green Bay was a paper tiger. They beat up on the Giants last week, which surprised me. Favre should be doing more of those Levitra commercials or whatever the heck he's doing. Should have retired 3 years ago. I know he's had a good start, but this can't continue. San Diego's going to bounce back. They're a better team. Even with Norv, they're a better team than what they showed last week. San Diego both.
Well, I think this is a huge game for both teams because I think now with the Packers, are you for real? You know, do they go to 3-0 and beat a pretty good Chargers team? And for the Chargers, can you bounce back or are you just a joke now under Norv Turner?
Right.
I'm going to take the Chargers because it's my AFC-NFC thing, but I'm going to be watching this game closely because I think this is a big game for both teams.
But I want to watch Brett Favre.
I agree it's a big game for both teams, and I think it may even be a bigger game for San Diego because they have to figure out if, you know, they're going to be a contender or not again, and they can't have performances like Sunday night. I'm willing to say every team is entitled to one clunker, but you back it up with a poor performance on the road against a team that you have a lot more talent than, and then that's what you are. You're mediocre too. So I'm going to do follow Tom's lead and put my eggs in the AFC basket. But as Tom said, I'm going to be watching this one.
Yeah, I'll go with San Diego with the win, but I'll take the Packers to cover.
Oh,
the 6.
It's 4.5.
Oh, it's 4.5? Oh, I thought it was 6.
That makes a huge difference for you. Huh?
It does.
1.5?
No, it does.
You made it sound like I said it was 1.
All right, now I'm going to go.
Or if I said 4 as opposed to 3.
Now I'm going to go with San Diego both ways.
All right.
You're going against your gut, Fred.
Apparently that game's going to land on 5.
Going
just
against
so
your
you
gut.
Know, if for whatever reason that ends up being in the middle, I'm just quitting.
I'll tell you what. If that ends up on 5, I'll give you 2 wins.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. Sounds good. Steak and 2 wins.
Trader Tom over here.
Next up, Minnesota travels to Kansas City in a battle of 2 of the very, very worst teams in football. Kansas City, 2.5.
Mm. That's a tough one. See, they're tough games this week.
Not for me.
You know what? I'll take Kansas City. Both. And you know what? I'm not going to give you any explanation why, because like you said, they're 2 of the worst teams in football, and this could go either way. Awful game. Awful game, but I'll take the Chiefs. They're at home, and I'll take the Chiefs both ways.
Kansas City, big for me. They're playing at home where they play better. Their defense hasn't played all that bad this year against, you know, like they played pretty good against the Bears. I think they're facing a similar offense here that can't really move the football and hurt them. Jackson's hurt for Minnesota. Might be bringing in Brooks Bollinger or I don't know.
Yeah,
the only thing I'd be weary of is if Kelly Holcomb comes in because he's that guy who comes off the bench and throws for 500 yards, but otherwise I like the Chiefs in a blowout.
Yeah, I like Kansas City big too, and that's my only worry is Kelly Holcomb if he comes in. But I just think neither team is real good. I think Kansas City at home gets a little bit of an edge. And, Tom throws it out there every one of these matchups. I go with the AFC thing, especially at home.
There's a lot AFC thing, indoor team, playing on the road at a place where they do have a significant home field advantage in Kansas City. And then Herm Edwards does a post-game thing, like everything, the ship's righted. Right. You know, he does a post-game press conference. Hey, see, that's what we're talking about, Kansas City football.
Have we seen Brody Croyle yet in the for the
no,
Chiefs? This could be the game.
I'll go with the Chiefs both ways. All right. Next game.
Next up, Detroit travels to Philadelphia to play the wounded soul that is Donovan McNabb.
See, another, I think, a tough game to play.
6. Philadelphia by 6.
Philadelphia by 6. This is my upset special this week. I got Detroit.
Okay.
I like Detroit in this game. I think they're
playing
well.
By the end
well.
Of the season, though, we may be saying that wasn't much of an upset, but right maybe. Now it'd be an upset.
Maybe,
yeah.
Yeah, right now it is, and I like the way Detroit's playing. I'm not impressed with the Eagles, and I'm going to go with Detroit.
Boy, was I wrong so far. I said Donovan McNabb would be the offensive MVP.
Did you?
Comeback player of the year.
Boy, you really, you're worse than me now. You say something, and
I
man.
Put the hex on him, man.
I agree with Eric. I'm going to take the Eagles to win the game, but I think this is going to be a very, very close game, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions win, so I'll take the Lions with a number.
Okay.
Yeah, I will as well. I think Eric, you made a comment about one of the teams, I think it was Houston. You just don't see them being 3-0. I can't see the Lions going 3-0. I think they played a bad game last week and got away with it. They were fortunate to win the game. They turned the ball over 5 times. Minnesota missed a field goal at the end of regulation that would have won it. I just don't think they're good enough to be 3-0, and for that reason, I'm going to take Philadelphia. But from what I've seen out of the Eagles, I'm not laying 6 points against anyone. So I'll take Philadelphia to win and Detroit to cover.
I'm going to go with Philly both ways in this game. This is one of those things I'm going to go down swinging with the Eagles. I'm waiting to see if the Lions are that good, and I'm waiting to see if the Philadelphia Eagles are that bad. But right now, I'll stick with the Eagles and, go down fighting.
Let's see. What's next up? My AFC East, you love these games, Fred. Good AFC East battle.
What do we got?
Miami is at the Jets. Jets by 3.
Ooh. That's a tough one. But yeah,
I'm not Bill Belichick.
I think I'm gonna have to agree with Gary there. I'm gonna go with Jets both ways. I'm not sold on Trent Green down there in Miami. I don't think that's a good football team at all. I'm not sold on Cam Cameron as that coach there. Mangini at least has some credentials, some bona fides being in that position. Brought that team to the playoffs last year. Even if Pennington doesn't play, they might even be better without Pennington in there at the moment. So I'm going to go with Jets both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets to the Dolphins. They led the Cowboys in the third quarter, but I picked them last week. I just wasn't impressed with their team when I saw them. I mean, Trent, like you said, Trent Green, I think he's all done.
Bring in Cleo Lemon.
I think Trent Green's all done.
It's time
there.
For the
Not
Lemon.
The Jets are any good, but at least they put up a fight trying to come back against the Ravens. So I'll go with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets as well. I just think they're a better team. I think Miami might not be as bad as people think, but I think the Jets right now have a little bit more, and certainly this is a must-win. It's a must-win for both teams, but I think the Jets have more at stake in that they were kind of considered to be the second-best team in the division. They need to show that at home against Miami. I think they get it done. Whether it's Pennington or Clemens or whoever plays, I think they get it done.
What's the number?
It's 3.
Miami's favored?
No, mm-mm. The Jets are favored.
I'm going to go with Miami and the Jets to cover.
Once again. The Jets are favored by 3.
Fred.
Oh, the Jets are favored
yes.
by 3. Okay,
at
Miami.
Home.
Miami with the upset.
Andy laughed yesterday when you had to explain that your email, and it was true.
The Jets are going to be lucky to win a game this year. They have bad karma.
All right.
They've
that's why you thought that garbage was funny.
I thought that was funny.
That's why.
Actually, I saw the Britney Spears thing. Now it is pretty funny.
No, I'm saying spoof aside, he didn't know about the spoof.
Right.
Anyone
who saw the Britney Spears thing, it's probably funny to him.
If there's a spoof
absolutely.
A good
facsimile. We'll give it a second chance.
I think that's funny.
You don't think it's funny?
Not,
he brings
not on
his kids
face.
On the sideline. It's funny.
On its face.
In its face, it wasn't. No. In context, it might be.
It didn't even make me, smirk.
I've never seen you laugh since you've been here, so I don't know what you think is funny.
You know what?
That's such a lie, Fred.
Fred, here's what
Look
I'm
at him. He's so happy to himself. For
I'm
shot at me.
Yeah, and usually it's me that he gets happy at himself. But I'm jumping ship. He's right. You don't laugh.
The hell I don't.
Been through.
I don't care. He's swearing.
She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two kids. Her husband turned out to be
a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her. She's a human!
What was this
This
on?
Has got to be fake.
Was that on Saturday Night Live or something?
No, it's on YouTube. It's actually a guy who is a big Britney fan.
Oh, my God.
Is it fake? Do you think it's fake,
Yeah,
Gary,
is it fake or is it
is
real?
It this guy, like,
What's
really...
with the laugh track?
Yeah,
what you don't realize is that Britney's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her. She hasn't performed on stage in years. Her song is called Give Me More for a reason, because all you people want is more, 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 more.
I don't know how
Let
funny it is.
Alone.
It's disturbing.
It's disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
It definitely crossed the line.
Yeah, see, now that
That's
makes
how
fun.
They do pants.
All right. What's the next game?
Now he's disgusted. He's mad that we just didn't find it funny. Anyway, San Francisco is at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh by 9.
Oh, please. Another. This is my. I have two upsets this week. This is the other one. San Fran, both ways.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got some trends that are like you, by the way.
All right,
hates Roethlisberger.
Really?
I do. Overrated.
Despite the fact that he's thrown for about 85 touchdowns already.
If I was in my old world, I would probably unload on the Steelers because this doesn't make any sense, and Joe Public is going to do exactly what you did and take the
right.
So I'm going to go. I don't want to do
one.
It. I'm going to go with the Steelers both ways, just because that line to me doesn't make
well,
any sense.
Well, I think what they think is they're going to totally shut down Gore, and then that's it. That's all they have. I told you, Alex Smith
yeah,
did
you
not
said
impress me last
Alex
week.
Smith has not
couldn't get out of his own way.
So I'm going to go with the Steelers for a butt whooping.
Yeah, that's probably why. They're going to shut down the run, and then that's it.
Well, I'm going to go. This will be the third different pick, and we'll do the third different combination. I will fall into the trap. I know what you're saying, Tom, but I just think it's too many for a team that I think is improving. 9 points is a lot. I'll take Pittsburgh to win, and I think they'll probably win comfortably, but I think somehow San Francisco finds a way to squeak the number.
Big game for the 49ers. If they can go in there and, you know, beat the Steelers, then all
they're
of a sudden
real.
They're Super Bowl
contenders. They go 3-0 with a win at Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, I picked San Francisco to go all the way to the Super Bowl.
Not so fast, my friend. Not going to happen.
So this would be a big win toward that, but I don't know. It's too early, I think, for San Francisco to pull off a win like this. So I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh both ways. I think that they're going to do exactly like I said. I think they're going to shut down Frank Gore, and that's it, because Alex Smith, I don't know how much confidence
Arnez
in him.
Arnez Battle, too, questionable, one of his receivers for the game,
Sorry.
So made that
big,
would hurt.
Made the big plays in the opener on that second Monday night game. Arizona at Baltimore in the next game. Baltimore by 8.
Mm. Oh. I'm going to have to go with Baltimore to win it, Arizona to cover.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm going to go the same way. I think Arizona got some confidence last week in that win that they probably shouldn't have won. But the other thing I like, the way to beat Baltimore is you got to spread them out and use receivers. And I think Arizona has the personnel to score some points on them. Baltimore too much, though, in the end.
Can you what was the manner in which Arizona shouldn't have won? I didn't see
it was tied, and Seattle was at the 45-yard line going in
for the
game
win.
And they went to hand off to – Hasselbeck with the handoff to Alexander, and they bumped into each other, and the ball popped up, and Arizona fell on it and got in the field goal range with, like, under a minute to go.
Oh, jeez. I like Baltimore in this one, both sides. With Tom's point about the spreading out, I think is accurate with Baltimore. However, I am not sold on Arizona's offensive line at all, and I think this could be a long day for young Matt Leinart.
Yeah, I could definitely see Baltimore winning this game by 40,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I'm really, really mad at Baltimore for what they did last week.
I just think their offense is such garbage.
But they had the game. They had, you know, they moved the ball very well for three quarters last week, didn't get touchdowns. They kept having to settle for field goals. And then all of a sudden they went into a shell in the fourth quarter, which, you know, allowed the Jets to come back in that game, costing me
and,
stuff.
You know, I said this off
things.
The air.
Things.
You know, you can say what you want about Denny Green, but that guy knows offense. And I'm starting to wonder
how much
Brian Billick knows about offense, because that might have been just Denny Green telling Randall Cunningham, throw it deep to Moss.
Did you watch the game, by the way? Because I thought Bowler played a pretty good game.
Yeah, he didn't play
bad. You know,
bad.
To put that on, you know, and I know I'm a Bowler apologist for whatever reason. I've taken a shine to this kid. I don't think he was that bad.
But at some point, you know, when are they going to start scoring points regardless of who's the quarterback? They go out and get McNair. They can't score points. They have this bowler kid that they like. They can't score points. At some point, you got to say it's the coach.
Yeah, well, I'm not a big fan of Billick. By the way, did you see him come out, Fred, and try to distance himself from the whole hidden meeting to why he made such a big deal?
I didn't hear him come out.
The only thing I'll say about that is exactly what I said to you on Tuesday. I just don't think Brian Billick cares about anybody. I don't think he cares about Bill Belichick. No, I think he only cares about Brian Billick.
I didn't think he did that to...
Everybody else disagrees with us.
I don't believe that. I think he just did it to do it. I don't think it had anything to do with Belichick.
I think he was mad that they didn't call the flag.
Right,
call the flags.
Right.
Anyway, I'll take Baltimore both sides.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Paul on that. It's another one of those big spreads, but I just don't think Arizona has enough, and I think Baltimore's defense will just kind of stifle them, and, you know, they'll, it might be like a... 19-10 type game.
Yeah, I think one of these is, you know, I think one of us is, Tom, is going to end up being really right on this game. Either Leinart throws for like 325 and spreads it out and
or they get killed.
Or they just get smothered. I don't think there's going to be any in between that he makes a
By the way, I'd love to see Arizona beat him, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure, you get another AFC team a loss.
Yeah. I just don't like Belichick and I don't like the Ravens.
Back to the NFC, Freddie. St. Louis travels to Tampa Bay, and St. Louis certainly has to have a win here. Tampa Bay, however, by 3.5.
I like St. Louis both ways. I'm not convinced that Tampa Bay is turning things around down there yet. Too much inconsistency at quarterback.
How's Garcia doing?
Well, he had a big game last week.
Sure, but I don't feel confident with him being there for the whole season, health-wise. I don't think he's...
We're
I'm
just
not
talking
convinced.
About this game.
I know.
Does he look too much like you when it bothers you?
Jeff, you know what? I never considered that, but you might be right.
He's
got a good-looking wife.
That's true, Fred, and I don't. So that's where the comparison.
We call
end.
Those beards.
Oh. Hey, I was being. I said wife.
Anyway,
with air quotes.
I still like the fact that St. Louis has Bulger, Bruce, Holt, Steven Jackson. I'm going to go with St. Louis both ways here.
You know, Bulger, I can't believe the yards he puts up on a weekly basis. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing they only score 10 points a game.
That's the thing. He just puts up these yards.
I think there's some problems with St. Louis. They started the year off 0-2 despite playing both games at home. I know they're really beat up on defense. There's just something about them. I thought they were going to be much better than this. I picked them to make the playoffs. Maybe they turned it around this week. I don't know. You know me. I'm a big Bucs fan for some reason. I'll take them to win, and I'll take the Saints to cover in a close one. Or, I mean, the Rams to cover in a close one.
Yeah, I think I might have picked the Rams to win the division, not even just make the playoffs. But I'm going to give them one more shot, and then I'll banish them to my never pick them again.
It could still happen, Paul. I mean, it is only week three.
I got St. Louis both sides here. Tampa Bay last week, Garcia put up a lot of points. I mean, a lot of yards and not a lot of throws. That was a weird game.
Yeah.
That was a strange, strange game. I'll take St. Louis to get on the win.
To me, this is a pick 'em. I mean, I have no idea.
I don't have
a feeling one way or the other. I'm going to go with the Rams both ways.
Time for the lightning round.
Oh, shut up. We got 10 minutes.
We got 7 minutes.
You have 5 minutes.
I got 9, according to that clock over there.
That clock's wrong. You got 5 minutes and 10 games.
Every clock in here tells
a
different
time. We
don't
have 10 games.
Jacksonville at Tennessee. I'm sorry, Jacksonville at Denver. I don't know where I got Tennessee from. Looking right at it. Denver by 3.
Oh, I like Denver both ways. They're at home. Jacksonville, I don't think they're for real. Denver, not overly impressive as I thought they would be to start the season, but I still think at home they're better than Jacksonville will be and better than 3. So give me them both sides.
Denver big.
Yeah, I agree. Denver big.
I'm going to go with the upset too, Jacksonville.
Really, Freddie?
Yep. Keep going.
Cincinnati at Seattle. I'm going to make sure I have this right. 3.5 is the
that
number
That sounds
there?
About right.
Yes, Seattle 3.5.
Seattle's favorite?
Oh boy, this is an ugly game. This is a pick 'em to me, Fred.
I know, but
this is an ugly game.
You have to pick a game.
Wow. Okay. I'll go with Seattle at home.
Cincinnati huge. This is my play of the week.
I got to agree with Tom. I'm going with Cincinnati with my AFC thing one more time.
What's the number here?
3.5, Seattle.
see, if it were three.
So this means you can't take Cincinnati to win.
Come on, Fred, you got to make a pick.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, I'll go with Cincinnati.
All right, next up, Cleveland at Oakland. Oakland by three.
I'll take Cleveland. Oakland is still the worst team I've seen in a long time.
Who did you take, Fred?
Since
he went with you.
Anytime Oakland's favored, I'm taking the other team. I'll take Cleveland.
And you took Cleveland in this game,
yeah,
too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Oakland both ways.
I'm going to go with Oakland, too.
All right, next up is Carolina at Atlanta. Carolina by four on the road.
I'll take Carolina. The Falcons are quickly becoming the worst team in the NFL.
Yep.
I think Carolina turns it around a little bit this week.
I'm going to take Carolina. I can't take the Falcons.
I'll take Carolina, too. I think the Falcons stink, and Carolina remains, to me, the most enigmatic team in the league. But I'll take Carolina.
I'll take Carolina to win and the Falcons to cover.
Good word, Paul.
Thanks, Eric. It means a lot coming from you. Anyway, Giants will travel to Washington, and where the Redskins will be favored by four, looking to go 3-0 under Joe Gibbs. My little witty throw-ins there, John? It's almost professional, like you.
Hi-ho. Want to pay attention here?
Whoa, don't you worry about it.
I'll take Washington Giants to cover.
Everybody take Carolina in the previous game?
Yeah,
I did,
yeah,
but okay. I had the Falcons covering.
All right, so what do you got there, Eagle Nose?
Washington Giants.
Giants own them in Washington, but I got the Redskins going to the Super Bowl. Start off 3-0. I'll take them both ways.
The Indy Heart. Pause. I'll take the Redskins both ways.
What's the number?
Four.
Yeah, I'll take Redskins both ways.
Okay. All right, next one is Dallas at Chicago. And evidently they're just going to put Dallas on Sunday night every week. Chicago by three.
Dallas at Chicago.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm gonna take the Cowboys both ways.
Cowboys big.
Yeah, tough one, huh?
Well, I'm going to see if the Dallas Cowboys are for real. I'm going to put my eggs in their basket. I think they're a better team than Chicago. Dallas.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dallas, too.
All right, that leaves us Tennessee at New Orleans. New Orleans by four.
You got to be kidding me.
Oh, boy. This is another
game. There's a lot
of
tough games
this
week.
Easy. The Titans, huge. Play of the week right there. This trumps my Bengals play of the week.
Who are they playing?
The Saints. Oh. And the Saints are at home?
Washington. Who'd you take? Giants, Washington?
No, Washington both ways. I got the Titans huge. I don't need to hear who you have. No difference to me.
Wow, what's with the animosity from over here today?
It's an easy one.
Because Gary's yelling at us to hurry up, and I'm losing track of the picks now.
Titans and Saints, yeah.
Give me the number again, Paulie. Give me the number again, Paulie, quick.
Four. New Orleans by four.
Oh, Titans.
New Orleans to win, Titans to cover.
Titans.
This is going to be another one of those. This is the last time I will do it. New Orleans.
Yeah.
They're going to go with
Titans.
The last time.
They're going to beat them up. They're going
to
beat them up.
So you got New Orleans and Titans to cover?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
That brings us to the end here. Buffalo at New England.
Oh, forgot about
that. Oh, yeah. That other game.
Oh, my God.
16.5.
How much?
16.5.
This guy's over here waving.
I know. Fred, he's like, how much? He's like shocked.
Patriots by 16.5.
Right.
Okay. Patriots both ways.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to see if they can go 3 in a row with 38-14 scores.
Yeah.
I'll go with the Patriots both ways. Who cares?
Paul,
I don't see how you can do anything else. Yeah. Patriots both sides.
Yeah, I got to go that way, too.
All right, Fred, you can put an end to it now.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Tomorrow, don't forget, the second half is Patriots Friday with Mike Felger, so who knows what will happen. We'll see you then.
Woohoo! Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in Progress.
Oh my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com Radio.